Hi, everybody. This is Paul Cameron from Drive Staff and SpeedUpMyJobSearch.com, and I am here with Joy McGuire Dooley, the author of A Taste for Work, Your Menu for Career Success. Thank you for being here, Joy.
Oh, it's going to be fun, as always.
All right. So I want to, before we get too deep into this, tell everybody who you are. I'm going to read your bio from the back of the book here, and then I'm going to make a bunch more comments about you. So sit tight. Joy McGuire Dooley is a therapist and educator. Joy has the distinction of facilitating one of the top networking job clubs in the Midwest. She also is the founder and co-host of a popular radio program called Job Talk. Joy's skills as an interviewer have attracted top authors to call the show on a weekly basis for lively and interesting discussions regarding job search. Her knowledge as a job search expert keeps her busy on the speaker's circuit throughout the year. And since the publish of this book, you were invited out to Washington, D.C. to meet with the Department of Labor based on what you've done with your job clubs. Just a resource of knowledge. And as I mentioned, I want to throw a couple of comments of my own in here. First off, you notice it said co-host of the popular show Job Talk.
And who was another co-host?
Exactly. Yes, I was on that show, and that's what I wanted to bring up here, Joy, is because I was a co-host on that show also. I had the honor of sitting next to you for however long, and that show was on the air for how long?
8 years. We had fun.
8 years. Wow.
We had fun.
That's a long time for any show.
Yeah, I met a lot of interesting authors and learned a lot and hopefully helped some as well.
Yes. I know that you did. I know that we did.
We couldn't have done without you, Paul.
Okay. Well, thank you, Joy. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That was the point in this whole conversation right here. This is the whole motivation behind me wanting to do this quick book review, because I think if people saw that I was recommending this book from my friend Joy McGuire Dooley and somebody I was a co-host with, and when people know that we know each other and that we're friends, they're going to assume I'm recommending this book because you're my friend and because we know each other. And I mean no disrespect to our friendship, Joy, but it has nothing to do with that.
Oh.
This really is a great book. It truly, truly is.
It turned out well, didn't it?
It really did.
Yes.
It really did. So, and I know the three of you who worked together on this book, Terry Clancy and Sally Morrison, all three of which you could have all written your own book on your own. So I want to start there if we can. Why write a book together? Why not just write your own?
Well, interestingly enough, it kind of dovetails to the job search. We met once at, where were we? The three of us got together. We were volunteering somewhere. Imagine that, volunteering.
Right.
Oh, it was at a retreat, and we were all volunteering. And we got talking about, you know, all these things that we were going to be talking about. Why don't we put them together in a book? And you know how you say that, how many times in your life, and are you going to do whatever you're going to do and you never do it? We finally said, okay, people tell you to write a book. People tell you to write a book. People tell me, let's do it together. So we made a pact that day to meet in 2 weeks and to set a date. You know how I am with saying, write it down. So we all wrote down the date. We got together and decided that yes, indeed, this made sense, and we each have our own kind of niche, even though we all do career transition, we all have kind of a niche. So if we put those three together, we could have a relatively interesting book, and that's what we did.
Okay, so with that, I mean, did you each take different sections and write different sections, or did you work together on all of them, or how did that work?
Well, actually, it's an accountability thing. We each kind of took our niche and we each wrote particular parts of it. And you kind of can tell who wrote what. Hopefully it all flows. But if you know each one of us, for example, Sally's, you know, the certified resume writer. Right. So she really knows her stuff. Do I do resumes? Yes. Does Terry? Yes. But Sally's the expert. So she would do it and then we would critique it. And there were, you know, for each of us. We each did our own, and then we would get together once a week. Every week we got together, which I think is important in job search, as you and I have talked about.
Yeah.
Accountability groups every week, and that's what we did. And we set the date for Thanksgiving, and the week before Thanksgiving, we had it finished.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. Okay. You and the employed by dates. Right. That you stick to so much. That's great. And how'd you pick food?
Well, when we met every week, guess what we did?
Oh, gotcha. Okay. That
but
makes
actually,
sense.
Actually, what it came about was Sally said, I've been thinking about writing for a resume book because her big thing is that look at a soup label can. And there are specific, obviously, ingredients you need. Well, on a resume, there's specific ingredients that you need. And she was going to do a small book on that. And I said, how about we just do a menu, and each part of the job search would be part of the menu. And we did. And the funny part about it is it's all about food, and I am the worst cook in the whole world. So Terry and Sally were saying, let's put these recipes in. And I thought, where do I get a recipe? I have no idea. I don't do recipes. Nice. So I asked my kids, and they all came up with recipes. So my recipes were my kids' recipes.
Okay. Nice. And yeah, for those unfamiliar, there are recipes, really good recipes throughout the book in here. It's interesting you mentioned that the soup label comment, because in one of my videos on speedupmyjobsearch.com, in one of the resume videos, I bring up that exact example from the book, mentioning I thought that was a really unique idea, because how do you pick one can of soup from another? You look at the ingredients on the label, but they never list the entire recipe out on the label. Right. They just give you the ingredients, and you've got to find out more later, which is, I thought, a great analogy for resumes.
No, that was Sally. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I certainly have a bunch of things that I liked from the book, but before we jump into like my favorite section here, do you have a favorite section or tip that we can give the job seekers here from the book?
Well, I like the whole thing, and I like reading it. And when you called to talk about this, I reread it again, and I thought, oh, there are some really good things that are timeless, because the book is a couple of years old, but they're timeless forever. You know how the job search changes, but some of these specifics don't change. For example, you, the job seeker, have all the answers in yourself. And you just need to be able to peel the onion away, find them, and then there are certain ways of getting a job that if you follow that, you will do it. But it all starts with finding out whom it is you are and what you're passionate about. So that's kind of my favorite part.
Okay. Well, and you're kind of leading right into mine from the book of the one I wanted to bring up and ask you about specifically, because on speedupmyjobsearch.com, I do everything I can to help you get to where you want to go. You know, to help the job seeker hit the destination they're trying to get to, but I don't talk at all about what that destination is. How do you figure out what you want to do? I mean, I'm assuming they need to know what they want to do, and then I'll help them get there.
Right. I just want to jump in here, Paul, as I did on the radio show.
Right.
Jump
right in over. No problem.
That you really are able, in an amazing way, able to help the job seeker. That's why I send people to you all the time. Oh. You are able to help them, but you are only able to help them if they can say to you, Paul, I want to be, or I want to do.
So
when I send them to you, it's going to be because they already know what it is they want to be, and then you can get them there fast.
Right.
You drive them there.
Right. There you go. Yes.
Okay. So how does one find that out?
That was my question.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think personally, as the therapist, I'm going to jump into the therapist part here.
Okay.
I think a society confuses us from the get-go. When we're little, you know, someone will say, like, I wanted to be a teacher. And my career, quote unquote, advisor at school said, oh, you can't be a teacher. There's a glut of teachers. You'll never get a job. So I went, oh, now what do I do? So I got, you know, I looked all around. I asked my dad and I said, Dad, I can't be a teacher. And he said, oh, all right. I mean, you know, now, if someone said you can't be a teacher, I'd say, excuse me, I'm going somewhere else. I want to be a teacher. But then when I was 17, I didn't know that. So I got into public relations and blah, 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 blah. It wasn't where I wanted to be. And how did I help put myself through college? I taught. Couldn't get a job, quote unquote, as a teacher, but I taught everything. I taught every sport. I taught in park districts because that's who I'm wired to be. So what I say to people is, if someone said to you, you're a woman, you can't do that, there's not enough money in that, whatever. Society tends to just derail us. Okay.
True.
Go back to when you were little and think about something that you wanted to be. Now, people laugh at me. And I had one man, he was like, he said, I'm 58 and I wear glasses. I can't be a jet pilot. That's what I wanted to be. And I said, okay, let's step back. What are the attributes? What are the talents that you need to be a jet pilot? Usually that's somebody who's a risk taker, somebody who's likes autonomy, somebody who doesn't, you know, like to sit behind a desk, who wants control, you know, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Call it whatever you want to call it. But it's still, that's how you're wired. And all the assessments that we have in the book help you find that out. But then you have to have somebody help you understand that. Because all people come to me and say, well, they told me I was supposed to be a farmer. Or, yeah, okay, so what are the talents or ingredients, go back to your
right.
soup label,
yeah.
that you need to be a farmer? Somebody who loves, you know, the land, who likes to be outside, like to take control, that kind of thing. So that's how you help find out. You start square one, go back, and you say, okay, well, I have no idea. Okay, so we'll go back to your jobs, all the jobs you've ever had. Do you want me to go through that, Paul, about the
yes
the
absolutely
okay.
I thought that was just extremely interesting. That was this it's the best way I've ever heard of how to identify what that dream job is, very specifically.
Okay, and it's so simple that people think it doesn't work. Because
mm-hmm.
that's too simple.
Right.
I got to have some, you know, huge test, or I have to have some certification to figure
right.
this out. No. You go back and start with the first job that you can remember, whether it be paperboy, babysitter, lifeguard, wherever you hear people say, I've been working since I was 12. Well, what were you doing when you were 12? Well, I was cleaning up in the grocery store my grandfather had or whatever. Okay. So there was an affinity towards something, or a family orientation, or something that you did from early on. You make a list, okay? And
right.
you make a list of everything that you like about that job, make a right across the page, what you didn't like about that job, okay? Then what was your value, and then what you learned. Okay.
Okay.
Now, some people, you know, say, I hated everything about that job. Okay. Well, then that's fine. Write that down, what you dislike, because
right.
for every job you have a piece of paper. You lay it out like bingo style,
okay.
and you start looking down the columns, and things are going to start coming out. Everything you'll see, like every job that you liked is because it was perhaps maybe people oriented. I love being with people, or vice versa, you know, the reverse of that. I like being on my own. I like being on my own. I like, you will see that. Well, when you see that, you pluck that out. You extrapolate that and put that over on the side and start writing down all the things you liked and all the things you didn't like. And pretty soon you're going to say, you know, that makes sense. Every job that I have, this is what I really like to do. But in today's society, obviously, for me, it's like paperwork. Bane of my existence, okay?
Right, right.
But if the job only has a minimal paperwork, you're okay with that. But then if the job it's primarily paperwork, then obviously that's not a job you want to take, even if it's worth $1 million. You wouldn't like it.
Right.
And the one thing about the value add, it's extremely important, the value add piece. For example, I was a food server.
Okay.
I was so bad. Oh, my goodness. I worked in Stouffer's in Cleveland summers in college. I loved being the lifeguard, but when it was raining, whatever, I would go be a food server. So I had the hardcore food servers on my right and left, Rhonda and Lene. I'll never forget this, Paul. I was like,
okay.
traumatized.
Okay.
At 11:30, the doors would open and in come all these people that had an hour. They had an hour, had to have the lunch, get back, you know. And I'd stand there like a deer in the headlights, and Rhonda be running around. So I start talking to people who were poor. People had to sit in my station. And I'd say, tell me about your day. How was your morning going? And one man, I'll never forget this, I said to him, how irreverent, but you're looking like our meatloaf special today. You really must have had a bad day. And he started talking. And he came back the next day and actually asked for my station. And the look on the host's face, he said, who? You know, like, why would you ever ask?
Nice.
But what I learned, I'm getting to this, the value that I brought there, people would come back because they felt heard and I could read people. And if I had done this particular exercise way back when, I wouldn't have gotten into public relations. I would have gotten into counseling and therapy and education then, because that's where, how I'm wired. That's what I do. So if people go back to their jobs, what value did you bring? You might have been terrible, but what value did you bring? And what did you learn in the job? Did you learn you're the go-to person at every job you've ever had? Did you learn new computer skill? Aha, Paul.
Right.
what did you learn? And those are the go-to points that you talk to people about when someone says, why should I hire you?
Great, great. And she will illustrate that, and they illustrate that in detail in the book, so you can see it right there in front of you and follow, you know, the different columns and everything that she was just talking about. So you can follow that right in the book. And this covers everything from interviews to resumes through, you know, the first 90 days when you start a new position, which is really important. A lot of people don't really think strategically about those first 90 days. Before I we conclude here, though, Joy, I do want to ask, kind of put you on the spot if I can, about my absolute favorite part of this book. I've got a favorite strategy, which we just talked about, but my favorite story about from this book is your airplane story. And, of course, I've heard this because I've heard you present before, but I heard the part on the airplane, but I didn't hear the part all the way through the leaf. And if you don't mind, it's kind of a personal story, if you don't mind sharing with everybody.
Well, I don't
usually. Tell us about it.
A lot of people might think it was kind of like, woo-woo. So I don't really talk about it much, but if you'd like.
I would love to. Okay. I mean, people can just hit stop and stop listening.
But you know what? Woo-woo, stop. Yes.
It's really a great story.
I was going in. My parents, unfortunately, were both dying at the same time of cancer, and they lived in New Jersey right on the beach. And I had they gifted me with the opportunity to see what it's like to die with dignity. And that's something that we're all worried about the job search, we're all worried about all kinds of things, but each one of us is going to have to address that sometime in our life. And I was given the opportunity to witness this. Well, every week I would go in Thursday to Sunday and help take care of my parents. And my sister would go Sunday through Thursday. Well, I was flying in this one particular time. And I'm telling you, I've flown around the world. I have never, ever had an experience like this. People were screaming. And the man on the airplane, the ride was horrific. It was bumpy. We never had the seatbelt off. And the man beside me was as calm as a cucumber. And I finally said to him, I'm sitting there with this book. I'm trying to read Freddie the Leaf book. So, and I looked at him and I said, what is it? Are you a pilot? I mean, what do you know that I don't know? Please share with me because I'm really scared here, you know.
Right.
And he just looked at me with this look, Paul. It was like, he said, God's not done with you yet. And I'm sitting beside you, so I think I'm okay. And I thought, who is this man?
Right.
What am I supposed to be doing? And then I said, do you know me? And he said, no, you haven't, you know, this sense about you. What are you doing? And I explained to him about my parents. And he said, this is your gift, and you need to do something with this. And to this day, I mean, then we start talking, and here eventually, you know, the 6 degrees of networking, how we all know. I knew somebody who knew somebody, and at Marquette, where I went to school, his brother taught me. What are the odds?
Wow.
We didn't know each other at the time, and he was an executive director of some nonprofit at the time. I mean, I remember that part, but anyway, when we got off the airplane, people literally got off and kissed the ground.
Wow.
And I shook his hand, I think he hugged me. I can't remember. I was quite shook. Oh, this part is not in the book. Got in the car. At the airport. I thought, I have to calm down. I'm going to have a cup of chicken noodle soup. Just relax, because chicken noodle soup is my go-to when I'm stressed.
Okay.
Not a chocolate ice cream, but they didn't have chocolate, so I did. So okay. Chicken noodle soup. Anyway, I got in the car, and a policeman pulled me over. And about halfway down to the shore because I land in Philadelphia and then I drive to Ocean City. And a policeman pulled me over because I was in the left-hand lane, and in New Jersey, you can only be in the left-hand lane if you're passing.
Okay.
And so I said to him, please go ahead and give me the ticket. I know I obviously I did something wrong, but blah, blah, blah. My parents are dying, and I think I'm slightly, you know, my mind's there. And he said, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. And he said, be safe, God bless you, and let me go. I didn't put that in the book. Okay.
Okay.
So
wow.
Here I come. I arrived to see my parents. Had this little book, Freddy the Leaf.
Okay.
That someone had given me, and I recommend this book as well.
Okay.
It's The Fall of Freddy the Leaf by Leo Bascaglia, and it talks about a leaf on a tree. It's winter or fall, going into winter, and it doesn't want to let go because it's scared. It doesn't know what's happening, and eventually, it's the last leaf on the tree, and eventually, it does let go. It has to let go.
Okay.
And as it falls, it sees that it has been part of a whole tree, not just this little branch. And that as he falls, he realizes he's part of something bigger than himself. And then he nourishes the ground. He will be part of nourishing the ground for more leaves to grow, for people to sit under, for shade, or for whatever. It's a beautiful story about life and death.
Okay.
Well, this is November. It's right around Thanksgiving. So it's a perfect time to read this book because it's all about, you know, fall going into winter and the dormant months. So I read the book to my dad, and I said to him, Dad, do you get the message? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, well, if there's ever a time when you die that you could send me a sign that life after death is what we think it is, could you send me a sign? He said, if I can, I will. So, unfortunately, the next day, or fortunately for him because he was in pain, my father let go and he died. So I went outside and was facing, they lived right on the beach. And it was cold, I had a sweatsuit on and a jacket, and I was facing the ocean, and I felt something hit the back of my leg. And I turned around, and there's this huge leaf. Now, Paul, I'm on a beach. There are no trees on the beach. First of all, there are no leaves on trees because it's the end of November. I pick up this leaf and I think, oh my goodness, that's my sign.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, and that man said to me, I'm supposed to do something with this. And I thought, what do I do with this? I have a leaf and I have a book. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And so anyway, I went back after the following week, I went back home and called up my kid's school. And I said, okay, may I come in and talk about death and dying? Well, there was silence at the other end of the phone, and the principal said, let me put you through to the religion teacher. So, and of course, my kids said, don't come into my room. Don't come into my room. You know, right. I had no idea what I was going to say or do or anything. The religion teacher said, it just so happens, this was a Friday called Monday, we do one chapter on death. And if you can come in Monday, you're more than welcome to. So I bring my leaf and I bring my book and I walk into the room and I say, I'm here to talk to you, you know, about the joys of living and the joys of the afterlife. And that's how I started. And of course, they look at me, they're a group of seniors, you know, oh dear, Heaven, yeah. What's this about? And I started to tell them, you know, my story and talk about, you know, we never talk about death, and each one of us, sometime you're going to lose a mind. Well, I said, are there any questions? And this one girl in the back of the room raises her hand, and she said, before your talk, I was afraid to tell anybody. But as you know, to the other kids, she said, I'm a foster child, and I found out 2 weeks ago, but I haven't told anybody, that I have leukemia and that I'm dying.
Oh.
Well,
oh.
I know. Closed the door, and people got up, they hugged her, talked, and I thought, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm supposed to do this, but there's another sign So that's what I'm saying to job seekers. I changed the whole course of what I was doing. I went back and tried to find a course on death and dying and counseling. That's how I got into all this. Yeah. It never would have happened if my parents had not taught me how it was like to die with dignity. So out of every horrific thing, I became an orphan. My mother died 17 days later. I became an orphan within, 3 weeks. And I have no idea. I didn't like my job that I was in. I knew that wasn't what I was supposed to be doing, but I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. So if you take one step at a time and listen to the universe, open up to things people are saying to you, not if they're saying something negative like you can't do, but have you ever thought about, or you're right where you need to be who you need to be. Okay, listen to those people, take a deep breath, and then seek out others. Like I went back to school, I got all kinds of certification stuff and got into doing what I'm doing, and I love what I'm doing. It never would have happened if something negative, quote unquote, would have happened.
Wow.
So that's it.
I hope that gives everybody a glimpse of you and, both Terry and Sally and the sincerity of the knowledge that went into this.
Really trying to help people make it less painful.
Right.
Really.
Right. And to help through the whole process. And I know a lot of people in the whole job search process who are out there trying to help people. But in all honesty, I don't know anybody who's more sincere than you are in their help. Because we'll go out to lunch and you'll be in the middle of eating a sandwich and be like, boy, I know I can help that John, because he... You take it home with you. So I hope everybody does pick up a copy of this book. I hope this gives you some insight into the book. There is a link to where you can go buy this book on Amazon on the page, whatever page it is you're listening to this review of this book. It's on that page, either on speedupmyjobsearch.com or drivestaff.com. I hope you get a copy.
And we might try to make an ebook.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for being here, Joy.
My pleasure, Paul.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.